Hi, this is Ross Allen Skorzybski, and today you are listening to the best of The Mark Gunger Show.
Caution, The Mark Gunger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to The Mark Gunger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Lap Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Gunger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of The Mark Gunger Show, Mark Gunger.
And the crowd goes wild at the mere mention of my name. This is Mark Gunger and the Mark Gunger Show, where we discuss all things concerning
marriage.
I am, of course, the one, the only, Mark Gunger.
Doggy.
Joining me, as always, is the lovely and charming Diane Brierley.
What have I done to deserve this?
And, of course, the incomparable Ross Allen Skorzybski.
I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is.
Engineering, as always,
is true.
Timothy Ray pushing buttons, twisting knobs, making it possible so you can hear the show, which originates from Green Bay, Wisconsin, the exact center of the galactic universe. This is the show where we handle all of your marital challenges, relational conundrums, dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@markgunger.com. This is how the show goes. You get to email us any question, any thought, any struggle you're having concerning relationships, and you get to remain totally anonymous. We, in turn, are brutally honest. If we like your thinking, we will celebrate it and praise you. If we don't like your thinking, we will castigate and humiliate you. Well, we will try to humiliate you, but we are pretty tough. Just remember, we don't know who you are. This is all done in total anonymity. And if you're looking for serious marriage counseling, this is not the show for you. Okay?
You come to the wrong place.
I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is.
Especially if you're looking for serious help.
Serious.
No, I'm just saying.
It's funny that people listen to the show and then they write in with very serious questions and want serious
help. That's okay, but then they take it. You don't know my whole story.
Right.
Well, we don't. We can't know. And there's not a radio show anywhere in the world, people, that if you got serious problems, you can get all your help, all the help that you need. And they're not going to know all the nuances concerning your situation.
It takes hours. This is a chance.
Yes, this is a chance for you just to send a concept, an idea. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about this? Okay. That's all the show is. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind. All righty then.
All that said, okay, story today. This is actually kind of depressing compared to how we started out with the male enhancement yesterday. It's from the American Spectator. I don't even know what that is. But anyhow, University of Virginia social scientist W. Bradford Wilcox takes a look at a new federal data.
Bradford Wilcox.
That's a nice name.
My name is W. Bradford.
Oh my gosh, we get hung up on the name. He doesn't like his first name.
W.
Yeah. Maybe it's the name's W. Bradford Wilcox, but you can call me W.
It's probably William.
Wilford or something, Wilford. And he hates it. He hates his name. He doesn't like the way his parents named him.
All right, what was W. Bradford Wilcox
have to say? He looks at new federal data on child abuse and
it's
comes up...
It's federal data.
Not
if
data.
You're W. Bradford Wilcox,
it's data.
It's data.
Okay, he looked at the data on child abuse and comes up with some alarming findings about child abuse in households in which the caretakers aren't a married couple.
Ah, okay. They're not married.
Mm-hmm, according to the report, children living with their mother and her boyfriend are about 11 times more likely to be sexually, physically, or emotionally abused than children living with their married biological parents.
Wow.
Likewise, children...
How many more times?
11 times.
See, people say, well, we'll just live it together. Mm-hmm. It's no big deal. I'm telling you, when you're married, it's a different ballgame than when you are not married. Mm-hmm. Everything changes.
It's not apples to apples. It's apples to oranges.
It doesn't matter. It's just a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. Apparently
it's not.
Not.
Mm-mm. Likewise, children living with their mother and her boyfriend are 6 times more likely to be physically, emotionally, or educationally neglected than children living with their married biological parents. In other words, one of the most dangerous places for a child in America to find himself is in a home that includes an unrelated male boyfriend, especially when that boyfriend is left to care for a child by himself. But children living with their own father and mother do not fare much better if their parents are only cohabiting. The federal study of child abuse found that children living with their cohabiting parents are more than four times likely to be sexually, physically, or emotionally abused than their peers living in a home with married parents. And they're 3 times more likely to have the educational neglect, emotional neglect, and all of that. In other words, a child is not much safer when she's living in a home with her parents if her parents' relationship does not enjoy the legal, social, and moral status and guidance that marriage confers on a relationship.
There's a whole different thing that happens with marriage. I don't know what that is. It's a strange thing. And they've studied this every which way but loose. What was that book? The Case for Marriage?
Yeah. Is it not over there on your shelf?
I don't know. I'm looking at
Maggie Gallagher's book?
Actually, she said she would be on the show with us sometime, she said. I've just never gotten
around
to
track that down. Yes, it's not the same if you're living with your boyfriend.
They have studied this.
It's not the same if you're living.
They have studied this every way
cohabiting
that you can look at it.
No,
every way. And yet, I dare say the common thinking today in America is that living together or married is not really a big difference.
But that was that big study that just came out that they're saying that marriage is becoming obsolete, that it's not necessary, that people don't even believe in it anymore.
But yet, every study that shows is exactly what this shows.
That's right. Well, and if that's the thinking, what's going to happen down the road with these kinds of studies? It'll be 20 times more likely instead of 11 times. I don't know, because people aren't going to get married. They're just not going to bother anymore.
I don't know. You got to work at being as dumb as we are in this country.
Those were rather alarming findings, as the article said. But no, I'm going to live with this guy or that guy or the next guy.
That's no big deal.
Mm-mm.
Apparently, it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. Okay, I received an email, and you said that you wanted to talk about this on the show.
I did.
There is a gentleman that I have been emailing back and forth with that was having some significant marriage troubles, and I ended up referring him to Larry Bellotta, who does the Fulfilled Couple program that you hear the spots on the show for. So he and his wife decided that they were going to do this with Larry, and they're sort of in the process of divorce. And an amazing thing happened in that the judge in the family court where his wife's divorce action is being granted or being heard, granted a motion after hearing both sides of the story to stay the divorce proceedings in order to permit his wife and him to specifically participate in Larry's program. So he's putting their divorce on hold while they go through this. And I had sent this email to you and said that it was so cool. And you're like, let's talk about that on the show.
That's meant. Is it fulfilled?
Fulfilledcouple.com /Mark is the way that we send people.
I don't get anything when I do that.
You don't? That's the address.
Not found.
Why?
Let me see. How do you spell fulfilled?
F-U-L-I. Sorry. F-U-L-F-I-L-L-E-D. Let me see what I can get.
Fulfilledcouple.com /Mark. I get Jack Squat.
Yep, there ain't nothing there.
Oh, well, that's the address. That's the one that's on the spots. That's the one that I
good
use.
Grief.
Let me see here. Maybe it's down.
Larry. You might want to actually.
That's the address, that I send people all
that
the time.
It works.
Fulfilledcouple.com. That's the search that's coming
up. How about
up.
Just that?
Yeah,
Fulfilledcouple.com. It's your /Mark.
Friendly marriage counseling alternative.
They need
works.
To get rid of the /Mark.
Yes.
Well, no, Larry, you dork.
No /Mark, apparently.
So, what he thinks about you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just surprised how often we run this and we keep sending people. I send people there all the time. I never hear it doesn't work.
No, I didn't hear it didn't work either. Nobody's told me, so maybe it does.
Or they got
I send that address all the time to people.
Very odd. Anyway, so this program, this is the guy who created the program called the Flag Page that we talk about often on this program and that I talk about all the time at my seminars. It's a great program for couples to understand each other. But Larry, who created this great program, really is fabulous at dealing helping husbands and wives who have just crossed the line. I mean, there's like, there's no hope. You guys
are
you're
dire
so
streets.
Angered, so full of anger and such a mess. Larry does an amazing job helping these people. So the judge says,
Put a hold on the divorce proceedings
so they can finish Larry's program. Mm-hmm.
so that they can actually do it.
That's pretty amazing. I thought, isn't it with no-fault divorce, you just do whatever you want?
And it is a no-fault divorce state, too. He said a miracle occurred in no-fault divorce state.
So how does the judge do this?
I don't know. Apparently, they presented both sides. This man does not want, his wife has filed, he does not want a
divorce. He doesn't want the divorce.
So the judge, good for him that he was willing to actually stay this.
He said, actually, let's at least finish the program before you get a divorce. Wow. You don't even hear about stuff like that
anymore. No, you don't.
Most of the time, they just ram it through.
Well, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens after they finish the program. Boy, if Larry can pull that out of the fire, that'd be pretty miraculous. I mean, if anybody could, he could.
Yeah, but if anybody can, it's going to be Larry.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah. Well, that's kind of interesting.
So we'll have to stay tuned and see what happens.
Would it be great if judges says you can't get a divorce until you watch Mark Unger's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar?
Yep. That would be really cool.
It would be very cool.
Yep.
Seriously, it doesn't take that much to save these marriages, a lot of them.
A lot of them it doesn't. Some of them,
I have met several people who got divorced, watched my DVD, and they got married again.
Well, you got to figure they divorced for totally asinine reasons.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, they're just confused. I mean, there's a lot of, I dare say the majority of divorces don't ever need to happen.
Right. No, the vast dare say majority.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
If people would just stop, drop, and
slow
roll,
down.
Yep. Figure it out, get some information to straighten it out for you. Mm-hmm. So, well, that's cool to see that judge is doing that.
Very cool.
Pretty unheard of, though, for
it normally doesn't happen, especially with all the no-fault, which is almost every state in the union now, in the nation.
All right, okay. Well, I recommend that program, fulfilledcouple.com. Apparently, /mark doesn't get you anywhere.
I think the /mark was just to give a count of where they come through and all of that.
Yeah, but it does work. But
apparently, it doesn't. That's the first I've heard of it, because that's the address
most people
I give.
Do what we just did, which is a lot of times if the slash doesn't work, you go back to the root.
Yeah, that's what I do. So maybe they're, because nobody's let me know it doesn't work. Anyhow. Okay, next email question says, or first email question says, my mother-in-law has been divorced from her ex-husband for more than a decade. So it's her mother-in-law divorced more than a decade and has lately started talking about dating again. She says she's been alone long enough and it's now her turn to find a man. Problem is, she's got her 14-year-old daughter still at home. My own mother married my stepfather when I was 14, and it created many problems. I am wondering, since this is touchy ground, being that she is my husband's mother, if we should say anything to her. It seems that she's always looking for approval from us, but then gets angry when our opinions are not the same as hers, which is very often. Would you say something to your own mother, or do you think trying to explain this would just be burning bridges?
I would say something to my own mother, but that's the relationship I have with my mother, which my advice to you is don't you say anything.
Right. Yeah, you're the daughter-in-law.
You're the daughter-in-law. You're the enemy, okay? Keep your mouth closed. Sew the lip together and say nothing. Your husband, however.
That's right.
Yes.
He has every right to respectfully question the mom about this.
Yep.
What she's doing is a very bad thing for her to do.
With a 14-year-old daughter. We just read it at the beginning of the hour. Yeah. We just read this, bringing a guy into these situations. And
this is bad. This is bad. But don't you say anything, okay? Nope. Stay out of it. If you want to prod your husband to say something, you can do that. But look, at the end of the day, people, you know, welcome to our world. You can't change people.
That's right.
What you can is change yourself. So people want, you know, how can I fix this, that, or the other, and make this person do that? And how can I get my cousin's, you know, friend's mom who's related to a sister who has, you know, you can't do any of that. You can't control what other people do.
No. You can pass on your
You can give the best advice you can,
advice.
Man. Welcome to my world as a preacher.
But
I wish I could reach out and control everybody, listen to me's life, but I can't. All you got to do is tell them the truth and let God deal with it.
Just think what the world would be like if everybody just did what you told them to do.
I don't know. They might be totally crazy.
They just did what Mark said.
Just follow Mark Gunger's plan for your life. I'm sorry. Anyway.
That would be kind of scary. Okay. This email says, this is kind of actually funny. My wife tells me things, and by the end of the day, or maybe 3 days later, she'll ask me about what we talked about. And when I say I don't remember, she feels hurt that I don't consider our conversations as important. She says, when it's important to me, I remember. So she says, she must not be important. Am I just being a guy, or do I need to do something about locking in those memories of our conversations? This is a common problem.
Well, I don't know. If that happened to me, I would say to my wife, I do love you.
Yes.
I do consider you important.
Yes.
I do not, however, consider everything you talk about important.
that's
what I would do. That's exactly what I would do.
Right. You are important, but everything that comes out of your mouth is
you
not.
You don't remember me talking about the price of the underwear in aisle 6 at Kmart.
Yes. Right. You're right. I don't remember that. Why? Because I don't care.
That's right.
Okay. Now, I'll listen to you.
Yes.
I'll discuss it with you. I'll engage with you about
yes.
it. I respect you enough for that.
Yes.
At least the guy's listening, but you want me to remember 3 days? I don't remember because that doesn't mean jack squat to me.
It's not that she's not important. It's the topic is not
important. That's what
she's
talking about is not important.
That's
you
right.
know?
That's exactly right.
So, you know, if you want to talk about having sex every other day, you know, I'd probably remember that. You know, if you want to talk about
that's important.
Why Mark gets to spend lots of money on himself, I'd probably get to remember that. I mean, and if, you know what I'm saying? There's
yes.
all kinds of stuff I would remember
yes.
very, very, very closely. Why yes. Mark should be able to go to Hawaii for the weekend just to get a little sun because I need to relax.
Yes.
I'd remember that
You'd
conversation.
You'd remember that conversation.
If my wife said, honey, you really need to go to Hawaii this weekend just to unwind for a bit. You know, of course, then I'd be wondering why she's trying to get rid of me. But anyway, you know, I mean, that's kind of stuff I would remember.
This is her issue, not his.
Yeah, yeah, but it's his because he's married.
Oh,
to
I understand, but it's unrealistic
yeah.
expectations.
But a lot of women think that way, that if he doesn't remember, if it's not important, then I'm not important.
No.
They do not differentiate between.
Yeah, yeah. Just say that to yourself, sweetheart.
Right.
You, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
I get up in the morning and I'm not shocked you're there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I have a house. Mm-hmm. I remember I have a wife. I remember I have children. I remember your birthday. Mm-hmm. I remember to get you stuff for Christmas. I remember our anniversary. I remember mm-hmm. all kinds of stuff because you are important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you talk about
is not
important to me.
Right.
Not exactly. in a mean way. I just, you're talking about stuff mm-hmm. that has no impact on me.
I used to get really mad about this. I used to do the exact same thing.
Seriously?
I literally thought because he didn't remember that he didn't care about me. And I finally had to come to the point to realize that it's not me. It's just the blather that was coming out of my
face.
You
get mad because you don't remember all the blather?
I used to. I don't anymore.
You're crazy, woman.
Well, I know that. Everybody knows that. But then
wow.
I finally realized that it's not me. It's just what I'm saying doesn't mean anything to him. Because I found that I was doing the same thing. He'd say, but remember I told you? And I'm like, no, I have no clue. And even when he was talking, my mind would go, I really don't care what you're talking about. And I wouldn't remember. So when I realized it's the same thing that I do, and it has nothing to do whatsoever with what Ross is looking at me like maybe that's not true. Like maybe he just doesn't give a rat's butt about it.
No, I'm just thinking in my head, I'm going, this is so not how it is in my home. My wife is not like, I just need to emote and I want you to take notes and I want to quiz you at the end of the day just to make sure you're listening.
Well,
honey,
now I just
do you
say,
see me? Do you love
no,
me?
No, no, no.
That's so
I
not
just
my
say,
world.
Remember, we had this conversation. I told you this and I don't get mad about it anymore. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I don't think he really does remember that we talked about it, but I'll say, we talked about this, remember? But then there's some things that you imagine and remember and you think you actually talked about that I don't think I did. I had that conversation in my head.
You're having
that
conversation
with
yourself right now.
I know. You're not listening. He's not listening. I can watch both of you with eyes glazed over. Nobody's listening to me.
What's that song? See me.
That's the Who.
Hold That's me. What's the name of that song?
The Who. See me.
I know who it is.
Feel me.
But what's the name of the song?
Touch me. Isn't it See Me?
Try it. The Who, See Me.
The Who, See Me. I think that it's... I like that song. I like The Who. I'm a big
See Me, Feel Me.
Yeah.
See Me, Feel Me.
Yeah. No, no, no.
I like the theme already.
The Who.
Touch me.
Seeker lyrics? Is it Seeker?
I don't know.
Feel me.
You got it?
Nope.
You didn't find it?
It's called See Me? That's the name of the song?
I'm pretty sure that's the name of it. It's The Who.
I know Who.
The Who.
I know Who.
And I think
Did
it's
I say
See
Who
me.
Is it? I didn't say Who is it.
Go to
I said,
a break.
What's the name?
Go to a break. It's time anyway. And then you can find it.
Because I find that song. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Finally, marriage advice that's direct, honest, and to the point. This is The Mark Gunger Show on markgunger.com.
My name is Joe Thompson. I'm 29 years old and have a career that I love as a systems analyst. Career. It still sounds cool to say that word. I never could have gotten on this path without a college degree. And if the college me were here, he'd tell you.
I never would have gotten to college without big brothers, big sisters. I could have ended up anywhere, on the streets even. But college? Joe Thompson? Not likely. My big brother helped me out. He taught me I could do anything, at a time when a lot of people were saying just the opposite.
And to a 7-year-old, that means a lot. My big brother's name is Phil, and Phil is the reason that this 7-year-old grows up to be a systems analyst.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping Big Brothers Big Sisters help a child. And that can last a lifetime. Start something today at BigBrothersBigSisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Do you want to discover the heart of your child and who God created them to be? Laugh Your Way America is excited to introduce the Kids Flag Page. This fun and interactive game will help you discover the unique way God wired your child. Find the key things that motivate them and learn what they love most about life. This colorful and engaging activity set will help your child see who they are at their very best and will teach you how to bring out the best in your child. Each Kids Flag Page game comes with everything you need to complete 3 Kids Flag Pages. Designed for children ages 4 to 11, the Kids Flag Page is a fun way for moms and dads to interact with their kids and truly discover the heart of each child. To order your game, go to www.laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
She's my pride and joy.
Oh yeah.
She's my sweet little baby. I'm a little lover boy.
Yeah, sing it wrong. Come on.
Yeah.
That's
I love this song.
A good song.
Yeah, I love my little, she's long and lean.
Long and lean.
You mess with her, you see a man getting mean.
That's right.
Oh, come on.
She's my pride and joy.
Sing it out, baby. Come on.
She's my sweet little baby. I'm a little lover boy.
You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show. And Ross Allen Skoczewski singing over the top of somebody else singing a song.
I love, my baby like the finest wine.
That's good.
I like blues. Turn it back up. A little more blues. Come on.
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Hey. Everybody get a dance. Come on.
He's such a great performer.
We gotta love the blues. All you need is 3 chords, baby. All right, you're grooving to blues here on the Mark Gunger Show as we're discussing all things concerning love, marriage, and relationships. Just talking to a guy whose wife was upset because he didn't remember everything that she said to him.
See me. Feel me. Touch me.
It's the Diane Briley song.
Feel me.
What?
You wanted your husband to hear you.
I used to be that way.
Everything that you did.
I did.
I sing this to my wife.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
You probably do.
I do too, actually.
Right.
I'm the feely-touchy guy in the marriage.
Feel me, listen to me.
I'm Mark Gunger.
Please acknowledge my existence.
Please, I'm here. Care about me. It's all about me.
I know without me you'd still be successful. I know you don't need me.
I know, kind of bites, isn't it?
Yes, it does.
It's just that wanting to
That's
be
bad.
Wanted.
That's bad when you die and next day your wife goes, oh, he's dead.
Oh, well.
All right, let's go.
Life goes on.
Who wants breakfast?
Life goes on without me because I ain't got nobody.
That's right.
Nobody. Cares for me.
So anyway, this guy's wife is that way, and she doesn't pay attention. So just be honest. And seriously, people need to lighten up a little bit.
Yeah.
Of all the things that freak out
about marriage. It's a very womanly thing, though, I tell you.
Yeah,
I hear it all the time.
But there's all kinds of ways you can be sweet to the girls. Mm-hmm. They look, I love you, I love you. Listen, if you would just tell me something naked, I'd remember it more. You know, I mean, laugh. Kid around, do something, but lighten up a bit.
Yes, don't all be right. so serious.
That's a great idea.
Naked
you
conversation.
You want me to remember things?
Be naked.
Oh,
talk to me naked.
You're full of it because I'm telling you, if she's standing there in front of you naked, you ain't going to even hear, much less remember what she said. Y'all are full of it.
Yes.
That ain't the answer. Don't listen to these two morons.
Can you repeat that?
Honey, you need to stand there naked.
Why? What's the significance? I don't know.
Oh, my.
Yeah. You have a problem with him remembering. He won't even hear it, honey, if you're naked. That's the way it goes.
He'll sure look at you, though. You don't look at me when you talk to me.
Say that again? Repeat that again? I'm sorry.
You don't look at me when you talk. Well, talk naked, for heaven's sake. And I'll look at you a lot more.
But you really won't hear a thing, will you?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. At least we're looking.
You can't have your cake and eat it too. Jeez, which one do you want?
For heaven's sakes. You want me to look and remember?
I'm being overrun by the testosterone in the room today. I'm sorry.
Oh.
All right.
Okay, this one, I don't know. We'll see how far this sets you off. She says, I was just listening to a previous show when you said, if your husband won't take out the trash, do it yourself. Mm-hmm. If he won't fix the toilet, hire someone to do it. Mm-hmm. She wants to know, aren't you giving men permission to be lazy and putting all the work of running a household on the woman?
Yes, hallelujah. That's God's will.
It is God's will.
Testosterone and man crap run amok today.
That's awesome.
No, the context is, what are you going to destroy your marriage?
Yes.
Because you won't take out the garbage. Seriously?
There are some people that will, I promise you.
Well, they're crazy.
I know, but I'm just telling you.
Life isn't hard enough that you're going to get so freaked out. Life's going to come unglued. Never mind the guy works and he brings in money and he does whatever he does do, but he doesn't do that one thing. He doesn't fix the toilet. You're going to ruin your marriage over that. Honestly, ladies, that is my point.
Right.
Now, there's all kinds of things you can do to engage with the guy. Ask him naked. But, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff you can do. I talk about it all the time on my DVDs, how to get a guy to do what you want him to do, da-da-da-da-da. But I promise you, the problem here is that women want their husbands to obey them.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible, however, says women should obey their husbands. Ooh, not a very popular verse, and let's explain it away. Okay, fine. I'll buy into all that. I think, by and large, it was very cultural.
Mm-hmm.
But it still says it.
Mm-hmm.
The problem isn't that men are trying to get women to obey them. Never has been, in my opinion. The problem is not only do women not like that, what they want is the opposite of it.
Mm-hmm.
Women claim,
the Bible's not fair. It has to mean something else. Well, does a woman really have to obey her husband? You know,
okay, but that's really not her group beef.
Mm-hmm.
What she wants is the opposite of what the Bible says. Taking the edge off it and put it in context of culture and understanding respect. Okay, I'm all fine with that. Honestly, I preach that. I believe that. But their grief isn't that.
Right.
Their grief, a woman like this, what they want is their husbands to obey them.
That's right.
And that's when they get actually anti-biblical and they get all crazy.
But if the guy's not doing it and she is running the whole household, she's going to get hacked off about that, like you say in the seminar.
Well, then that's when the Bible says to a guy, look, better to live on the corner of a roof than in the house with a contentious woman. There's all kinds of...
Yes.
But this is where you wrestle through these things.
Mm-hmm.
These women get mad because the guy doesn't obey them. When you get in the role, girls, will you expect your husband to obey you when you talk? You need to do what I say that. I think you just cross into Lulu land. Okay? All kinds of things you can do to succeed with a guy. I talk about it all the time in my books, DVDs, whatever. Relax a little bit.
Brand new and available now on DVD, Manly Man 3, Time to Man Up. In this third year of the conference, Mark Gunger, comedian Ken Davis, Ed Gunger, and Paul Coughlin challenge men to stop being passive and become courageous leaders among their family and friends.
I think it's amazing. I've been sitting backstage watching this, and I think I get it. We have been neutered. Am I wrong? That isn't the sad part. We volunteered for it.
Order your Manly Man 3 DVD with over 6 hours of both hilarious and serious sessions giving men practical tools to become the man of God he's called them to be. Visit us online at laughyourway.com or call 866-525-2844. Don't wait. Order your copy today at laughyourway.com.
Are you tired of wasting your time and money on marriage counseling that works temporarily but leaves you worse off than before? My name is Larry Bellotta, and I know what it's like to endure a miserable marriage because I've been there. I lived 27 years in a marriage made in hell, but in the 28th year, I fell in love with my wife. And today, we're continuously married, 34 years happier than ever. Over the years of working with couples, I found that one thing holds them back from the marriage they really want, resentment. It's true. If you don't feel good, you won't do good. How many people in miserable marriages can do something positive when they feel angry inside? And it's in struggling marriages that you miss that intimacy, that closeness and connection that you used to have. It's time you tried something that really works when counseling won't. And that something is called the Fulfilled Couple Program. You're going to learn how to eliminate your negative feelings in 60 seconds so you no longer have to get angry, no longer have to get critical of one another. And that's why this program has an 88% success rate. Go to fulfilledcouple.com/mark to learn more. That's fulfilledcouple.com/mark. And get ready to fall in love again.
I've been loving you too long to stop now. You were tired.
That's what my dad calls a belly rubber. Slow dance song? That's a belly rubber.
It's a belly rubber song.
That's what my dad calls it.
You know who this is, right?
Become a
habit.
Aaron Neville.
Otis Redding.
Oh, Otis Redding.
It's a belly rubber, is all I know. If you're listening to the Mark Gunger Show, stop that belly rubbing. Pay attention to me on the radio. For heaven's sake, people. So I know we're still talking about this lady who is all mad because what happens if he doesn't take out the garbage and la 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 la. Just, I don't know. My wife, would she put the garbage right in front of the door so I can get out?
Yes.
And if you step over it, as I have done before, because, you know, my wife will do the same thing, she'll just leave it there until it starts to stink.
It's like that Everybody Loves Raymond episode.
How do you like that?
There's all kinds of stuff you can do. But see, my grief is that they get mad because their husbands don't obey them first drop of their commands, which I think that your girls are just out of it when you're doing that. That's just, certainly from a Christian worldview, you're totally out of it. Mm-hmm. Okay, not that he doesn't have to do these things, but relax a little bit. He doesn't have to jump and jump how high every time you say jump. Okay, number two, you're gonna let this ruin your marriage. You're gonna come unglued because he doesn't fix the toilet.
But I tell
you, at some point, you need to just call a plumber. That's what I was saying, or do some of these other things. But I'm saying, see, I say that in the context of these women. They'll do everything I say, and he still won't do it.
Right.
Well, then what's your choice at that point?
Then you've got to call the plumber.
See, I wasn't advocating that she just calls the plumber
and
right
takes
away.
Takes care of it all yourself.
I said,
first
you
off.
Ask him.
No.
Ask him again. Ask the right way. Mm-hmm. Do whatever you got to do to get his attention.
And
if he still doesn't do it, you got a choice. You're going to ruin your marriage or you're going to call a plumber.
Yes.
That's where. So I'm not saying that a guy shouldn't do these things.
Right.
Okay. I'm saying that a woman who thinks her husband should obey her is out of line. Okay. Okay, and I argue both ways. I don't think a man should be running around just telling woman, you got to obey whatever I say.
Do that.
Yeah, but if I say it to men, certainly women are out of line when they do it.
Mm-hmm.
But they love to do it. See, they love it when I say men shouldn't boss their wives. Or, oh, yeah, the Bible doesn't really mean that, But then they do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're out of line with that. Okay, but I mean, look, I show you how to do it. I show you how to succeed, engage the guy, consequences. Good grief. There's a million versions of this I talk about on the show constantly. But at the end of the day, if you've done A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and he won't fix something like the toilet, just call the plumber or fix it yourself.
But I'm telling you, it goes back to that guy at the beginning that doesn't remember everything his wife says. These women think that if he doesn't take the trash out, if he doesn't remember to do the things she asks, she's drawn the line. If he doesn't do this, it means he doesn't care about me. And again, they have to sever this line between point A and point B in their head that tells them that, because he doesn't care about the garbage. It's not that he doesn't care about you. But I'm telling you, that's what gets these women in trouble. I promise you, I'm a woman.
I
know that.
I believe you.
Because they think if he doesn't unload the dishwasher, if he doesn't take my car in to get the tires rotated when I reminded him, she takes it personally and totally believes
that
he doesn't care about me.
See, my wife never does that. She never internalizes
that line.
I know, but I mean, she'll still get on me for not doing it. She'll get intense. She'll get in my face. I'll do it, you know, the elder bait.
Yes.
But never does she internalize it and say, he doesn't care about me.
But lots of women do internalize
And these are the women who have miserable marriages.
Because they don't understand. They're not related items. He can love you desperately and still not remember to take the trash out every Tuesday night at your house.
Shut up, woman. She's evil. There's an evil woman here.
Let's see.
All right, what else?
I know your sins. Okay, here's a little survey that shows that most people believe in love at first sight. Do you believe in that? Love at first sight? Lust at first sight,
no,
maybe.
I
don't know.
Kind of do, to an extent, because when I first saw Leslie, I knew that, you know what, there's something here, and I'm going to pursue this, even though she hates me. And yeah, I do, kind of.
Yeah, I just told you I love my wife from the day I saw her.
Did you?
But that's just us, you know. Yes. Everybody's there. I know most couples I know, they couldn't stand each other when they first met each other, which is kind of funny.
Right.
So, it says the survey revealed that over half, 55% of American adults say they believe in love at first sight.
Well, let me say this. We call it love, but when you understand the true definition of love, it's virtually impossible.
It's just attraction.
Yes.
Yep. It's lust. It's...
Not necessarily lust per se, but I mean, it's just like, wow.
Well, it can be,
but I mean, a lot of the love is, I think guys understand lust right away, like Hoochie Mama's kind of stuff. But when they talk about love at the first light, it's more than lust. It's, wow, what a pretty lady. Wow, what a great smile. What a person.
It's the attraction.
The way she talks, and the way she laughs, and everything about her, the way she carries herself. You know, that's a different thing.
Absolutely.
That must have been what happened the first time that... Oh, no, forget that. 71...
That's what we all thought when we first saw you, Diane.
That's what I was going to say, and then I thought I better not go there.
Ross and I met you...
And it was like, dang, too bad I'm married.
We were gone.
I know.
Yeah, that's what we thought.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Dang.
Too bad. Too bad for you. You lose.
Multiple wives.
You lose.
Too bad I'm not a Mormon. That's the first thing that went through my mind.
That's what you thought.
I think we just crossed the line there, folks.
She's crazy.
All right. 71% of the people in the survey admitted that they'd actually experienced it themselves. Love at first sight.
Yeah?
I don't know. I've never experienced that, I guess.
Maybe you're not really in love then.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe you haven't really looked at Ross and I.
That's right.
That's it.
What's wrong with you?
I got the blinders on. Maybe I need some beer goggles, and then I'll experience that love at first sight thing.
Beer goggles.
Yes. Yeah.
I love my mirror. I love what I see. It
of
is love
you
at
do.
First sight.
I don't know. I'm just very, what's the word? I am jaded about that kind of a thing. Maybe that's the word. I just don't believe in that. I think that that's a bunch of bunk. I think that you get yourself in trouble, you know, because if you think that that's possible, then what happens? Like you just said, you're married and you see somebody else and it's like, whoa, there's the real love at first sight. I think that it opens up cans of worms.
Oh, people do
just
that all the time.
My opinion.
They do that all the time.
So it's like, I'd rather not believe in it at all than believe it. Because
true,
if you believe
true
in it.
Love, understanding love at first sight, that's not really
because if you believe in it, you can
I understand
really,
what they're saying by love at first sight. This is great attraction. Wow. I want, you know, but true love, I'll lay down my life for you.
Yes.
No.
But if 71% of the people think that they've actually experienced it, then they, you know, the new girl comes in at the office or they meet somebody in the shopping mall and, oh my gosh, it's love at first sight. You know, you've heard the stories. Uh-huh. We've read the articles that they buy that bunk and they get themselves in trouble. So therefore, I'm a poo-pooer about that kind of a thing.
You have successfully poo-pooed.
I've poo-pooed that. Okay, are you ready for a little theological question here? I know, because you're so...
Yeah.
The wise
I'm a real
one.
Theologian.
You're the theologian. Okay.
All right.
He says, I haven't gotten a clear answer on this, and I've always wondered. Even reading the word, I haven't received a clear answer. Who were all the people that Jesus kicked out of the temple? The obvious ones were those that were corruptly changing money, but what about all the buying and selling going on in our churches today? All the coffee shops and fundraising. It strikes me that we are cheapening the church and what it stands for, though I also recognize that now the true temple is in our hearts, and Jesus hates when we corrupt our hearts with twisted and perverse ways. I know this is more of a theological question and perhaps not really on the order that your show follows, but I do not know anyone else that I am aware of who I can ask and give me a straight answer. So you're the straight answer man.
It's a good question. I mean, first of all, who really cares? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really the first thing I would say. Of all the world's dying and going to hell, and your problem is
who did Jesus kick out of the temple?
I think it's just a
temple?
Question.
You know, I mean, I got all kinds of questions I never quite get answers to. And that's one of them. I don't really know, because I think of that too. It's hard not to think of, okay, well, we're selling this over here and we're selling this over here.
Is it the same thing?
Is that
thing?
The same as the money changers? I don't know. I would hope not. You know, but I don't know. But then again, you're talking, this is the Jewish temple. They had very strict rules about everything.
Very highly regulated.
Dude, they didn't even eat bacon and lettuce and tomato sandwiches, okay? You couldn't.
That's a bummer. I love bacon and lettuce.
Well, I know. That's
I love.
Yeah, I do. Well, I'm not Jewish, so I don't have to worry about it, you know. So, I mean, you know, there's all kinds of things. You couldn't make love to your wife on certain days of the month. You couldn't carry things too far on a Saturday. I mean, they had rules about everything.
How many steps do you talk or walk,
everything? About every, you couldn't cook a goat in its own mother's milk. Mm-hmm. There's a rule on that in the Bible. Now, how many people are trying to cook goats in their own mother's milk? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But apparently, it was such a problem, they had to have a rule.
They had to address
it. Yep. Rules on everything. They had rules.
Yeah.
They had rules that if your husband was in a fight with another man and one of the wives jumps in and grabs the guy by mm-hmm. the balls, that they would cut off his hand. This is in the Bible. This
her
is
hand.
In the
by
Bible. Her hand.
Her hand.
You'd have to cut off her hand.
That's
by
right.
the balls. You just use that.
By the stones.
No, by the balls.
I know.
By the
balls.
But
it is
yeah.
by the balls.
Yeah, it
yes.
says by the stones.
By the testicles.
Yeah, if you grab a guy's
stones.
His gonads. Okay?
I know.
You'd
it
cut
just
off their
sounded
hand.
Funny. It just sounded funny.
But apparently, there's that much gonad grabbing going on in the Bible.
Well, that's mm-hmm. how you get someone's attention.
That they had to write a law about it.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, how often is this happening?
Apparently frequently enough
okay,
that they had
question.
To address
Have
it.
Have you ever seen two people fighting? And a wife jumps in and grabs the gonads of the other guy.
Never.
No.
Never.
I have never been a witness to gonad grabbing.
I'm thinking of trying it out during the next counseling session I do. If the yeah. husband and wife are going at it and the man just steps out, I'm going to go, hey.
There you are.
Okay. Apparently, there was so much gonad stone ball grabbing.
Maybe.
In the Old Testament. That there's actually a rule against it in the Bible.
That's very odd, isn't it?
Oh, then there's other ones.
Yeah,
it goes
I know.
On
I've read it.
And on and on.
Very weird things.
They had rules about everything. It was the Old Testament mm-hmm. law.
mm-hmm.
So, what law were they going over the line in where Jesus smashed these temples, you know, these guys and threw them out? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know.
So, I don't have the answer for it. There you go.
If you put it.
But here's my point.
Yes.
To this guy. Seriously, dude, lighten up.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the things to worry about and afraid about, this has got to be at the bottom
at the
of the
bottom
no,
of
no,
list.
No. It would be the only thing below this would be ball grabbing.
yeah,
ball grabbing.
That's the question.
And maybe
you send
goats
into this show?
In their own milk cooking.
He was just curious.
I would put ball grabbing at the bottom, cooking goats in their own mother's milk, and then what were the guys selling in the temple?
And who did it matter?
It's of all the things in life. This is really nothing to fret
because
over.
Because even if there is selling and all of that going on in the church, I don't think that's as big of a problem as the lying, the cheating, the adultery, the fornication that also is going on in churches today.
The porn.
If you want to worry about something.
The anger, the bitterness, the
unforgiveness.
Absolutely. Let's look at those things. I think that that's a little more problematic than selling donuts
selling
on
some,
Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah, some Christian book over in the corner on the table. I mean, honestly.
Let's deal with the big ones first.
I just,
and I'm sure that God's having
it's got to be down by grabbing the stones.
Yeah.
Is all I got to
I'm sure
out.
He's a lot more concerned about those things than the donuts going out the door on Sunday morning.
All right.
Okay. I am praying that you can help me with some good advice. I have been married
me
for...
Me too. I pray that every day when I get up to do this show. Oh, God, help me come up with some good advice.
Yes. She says, I have been married for 13 years and mm-hmm. have been suffering depression outwardly for the last 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
I was date raped at 17, not by her husband, a different guy.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I tended just to give it to guys as I figured they wouldn't take no for an answer anyway.
Just give it to... Just give it to them. No, that's a different song.
Just
that's
beat it.
Beat it. No. That's different. Okay, so she says, I met my husband at 20.
Okay, 20.
And we married a few months later. It was a whirlwind romance.
Okay.
11 months later, we had our first child.
It
we
was
have,
love at first sight.
Yes, probably.
Okay.
We've had lots of problems along the way, including some emotional abuse and sexual abuse. I discovered my husband had been into porn since his early teens,
mm-hmm.
and he likes to try many different things that make me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably boring, she says. And occasionally, he doesn't take no for an answer when I'm feeling unable to do it. The
mm-hmm.
odd occasion, he still looks at porn, which he claims isn't as bad because it's just art. But I know he's
yeah,
trying.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what it is.
She says,
it's just art.
It's just art.
Uh-huh.
It's for the artistic value.
Okay, that's art.
Yes.
Right there on the wall. See, I got a picture of a lady.
Porn is not art.
With her hoochies.
No.
But it's a statue.
It's a statue.
That's but I don't think
yes.
anybody looks at that
now
and thinks porn.
No.
And you go
he's
to your
not
local
looking
art
at pictures,
museum and...
Yeah.
Masturbate
he's not looking at pictures of the Venus
the
de Milo.
It's
no,
just
no, no,
art.
No, no. He's looking at other things besides art.
Yeah, yeah.
She says, I know He's trying to stay away from it for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
My questions are, how should I react when he confesses about the porn to her? She says, I try not to react, but it's just another brick in the layer of the wall that goes up between us. And the other question is, I would love to have a normal intimate relationship with my husband, but I don't really enjoy sex at all, which gets us both down, as he says he wants to meet my sexual needs. He has a very large sex drive, by the way. She wants to know, will I ever enjoy sex as God planned? Thanks for your advice.
What was the first question? There was a question. You said, first, my question is, after giving us all this history.
She wants to know about how she should react when he confesses the porn to him.
Okay. I think, you know, what's the consequence for this? Mm-hmm. Listen, was it yesterday's show we talked about
again,
this?
Yeah, again, she thinks he's trying and she wants to be sympathetic and understanding, just like the gal yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, you guys got to come up with a system. What's when he does this?
Well, he says it's just art, so he doesn't, I'm sure, doesn't think there should be a consequence for looking at art.
Yeah, but sweetheart, you're a little clueless when you buy that kind of argument. Mm-hmm. If I'm looking at porn, I tell my wife it's art. She beats me to death, okay? Yeah. I mean, that's... Yeah.
It's not
art. What would you do? What would you do? You find your husband looking at porn, he said, well, it's just art. Your response to that is exactly what?
I would beat the crap out of him.
I mean, honestly.
Seriously.
Sweetheart,
it's like art. I know the difference between art. I've been to many museums.
These women
they
don't get it.
They aren't showing porn.
Their husbands treat him like crap because the women let him. It's the end of the day. He does this to you, dear, because you let him. You let him. Your problem isn't your husband. Go look in the mirror. That's your problem, okay? You don't tolerate this kind of behavior. Mm-hmm. And you make it very, very clear. And if he does it, what's the consequence? Yeah.
And if you've been sexually abused, you probably, if you haven't been to counseling, need to get some help in that area, I would imagine. You know, which is pretty crappy that she was date raped and then her own husband doesn't take no for an answer and forces it. That's crappy.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. You know, you don't put up with this kind of stuff. If he's supposed to be a lover to you, he should be focusing on you, not about you focusing on him. I love these guys that are into porn. Why don't you do this to me? Why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? Hello.
The art is teaching them. That's all. They're just learning it from the art.
I'm just telling you, guys who do this, these are lousy lovers.
I know.
Men who are constantly telling their wives, why don't you do it? These are the worst lovers on earth. Mm-hmm. They have no idea what it means to be a lover to a woman. Mm-hmm. Any guy who talks like this doesn't know how to be a lover to a woman.
Then what really stinks
is... A true lover to a woman is all focused on her.
Mm-hmm.
Making it about her, not about making it about you. So you got a husband who's a lousy lover, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And address those things. Work on it. Talk about these things. Listen to the show with him. Listen to my seminars. Buy my DVDs. Read my book. There's a gazillion other guys you can get out there.
Yeah.
There's so many great resources. You got a husband that doesn't quite get it. But you need to let him know porn is unacceptable in your home.
It's not going to fly.
Not going to fly. And what's the price? You guys work that out. I mean, I can give you all kinds of suggestions, but man, just listen to this show for a while.
Well, and she wants to know, will I ever enjoy sex as God planned and have a normal relationship?
I don't know. What does that mean?
Well, she's got some things to deal with. It's like what you talk about, making the adjustments when you've had these past issues.
I get it. Here's my problem, though. And I'm just going to be, I don't know this lady, and don't all you women get mad at me. But I routinely hear, almost every woman I've talked to says they've been sexually abused. When I ask them what they're talking about, honestly, in my view, that's not sexual abuse.
Like, what do they say? What do they say that's sexual abuse that's not?
My sister sexually abused me. What do you mean? Well, she taught me how to masturbate.
No, see, I wouldn't consider that
sexual
abuse.
Well, she touched me. I get it. When we were all little kids, we all grabbed each other figuring this stuff out.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider any of that sexual abuse.
That's not sexual abuse.
I know there's people who call it that, but that's not my
definition.
Well,
I know, but I mean, so they're just quick to grab this thing. That's why I'm saying.
Twisted.
Yeah.
And I know it's unfair because there are women who have been really sexually abused. And I always try to ask.
Yeah.
But women today, they jump on that bandwagon like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
Another lady says to me, my uncle sexually abused me. Really, what did he do? Well, he tried to cop a feel once in a room. And
that's just trying to cop a feel. That's sexual abuse.
Exactly. I said, he just tried to cop a feel. Well, so-and-so sexual abuse.
Well, can it upset you? Can it bother you? Sure,
but
it's
not
real sexual abuse.
No. So what is this lady talking about? I was date raped. Was the guy? Did she really get raped? Right now, I know I can get all kinds of no.
I mean,
but who knows what kind of no these people are saying? You know,
I mean, that's a whole argument in and of itself. Is there even such a thing as date rape? I mean, what you situation you got? I mean, the people will argue.
Well, he
both
may
sides
have
sex.
I didn't really want to have sex. I said, please. Of course, he's already inside me by this point. You know, I mean,
when you're
letting him feel you all up and pawn all over, and then all of a sudden at some point, you know,
not that it's okay for some guy to do that. We're not saying that. Just so people don't freak out.
I know. No is no.
Yes.
And maybe she was really right.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
But I'm just saying these are people, their definitions are very odd when you start asking the questions. I was abused by my uncle. Really? Yeah. Oh, that's horrible. Right away, you want to find the uncle and beat him to death, throw him in jail, you know. Well, what did he do? Well, he tried to cop a feel once. And
I don't consider
and
that.
What happened? Well, I walked away. And then what else happened? Nothing.
Yep.
Well, sweetheart, that's not...
Well, it's very distressing. I get that, but it's not abuse.
I get it. That's
not
abusive. So so there again, I don't know what she's talking about. The fact that she was very loose and had sex with a lot of guys, that can be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
How do I enjoy sex like God intended? Well, what does she think that means?
Well, I don't want to be really mean because God's bigger than everything. I get it. He can heal anything, change anything, overcome anything. But the way God intended sex was you don't have it before you're married. You don't do it on the piggyback of pornography. All of the stuff that God intends sex to be when you're doing it outside of that is going to impact your ability to have it the way he intended it to be.
Yeah, but my point is, what is the expectation level? What do they think that means?
I don't know, butterflies singing and bells
going
off.
That's what I'm saying. You know, every time you have sex, you have sex.
They don't sing.
When the butterflies start singing,
wow.
That's when you took too much LSD.
Yes. What
okay,
you
that's
on?
Your problem.
Woo-hoo.
Put down the hashish pipe.
Flying and bird singing.
Because the butterflies are now singing to you. That's a different drug problem having.
Earth moving, shattered, you know.
That's what I'm saying. Does she think, if you really have sex with God, that you had these incredible multi-orgasms and the earth shakes and...
And that you totally love it and everything is all like they show in the movies. I don't know. They're acting in the movies, people. It's, you know, even the best sex isn't always what they show on TV, let me tell you.
It's weird. I mean, my wife, when I make love to her, she hears, you know.
Sure she does.
I mean, you know, that's to be expected. I understand that, of course. But I mean, no, I'm being facetious, obviously, for this poor lady who's probably confused. If that's what you're expecting every time, if that's what she thinks God... that she's never going to get
sometimes
that.
That's a rather underwhelming experience. I mean, really, it is. You
no,
have
I
to
know.
Realize
sometimes
that.
Sex is really fabulous. I mean, I always like it, but there's times where it's, holy cow, another time, well, that was wonderful.
Like,
but if you have these unrealistic expectations.
Yes.
So many things that she says here, this is where she needs counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Because almost everything she says sends off flags to me.
Mm-hmm.
I was abused. What do you mean you were abused?
Mm-hmm.
I was date raped. What do you mean you were date raped? I'm not having sex like God intended. What do you think that means? You know, so there's so many questions here. Dear, we can't really begin to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully a little piece of what we're talking about is helping you already. But if you really have sexual abuse issues and you were raped and all these other kind of stuff, which I'm not saying you weren't. It's just I'm saying, you know, if that really happens, that you need
help,
way more help than sending.
Do you know what's kind of sad? Just listening to this too is just here. She wants him to stop looking at porn and maybe doing these other things, in the hopes to see her. But she's not that interested, anyways. She's not that interested in the sex. What a drag for both of them.
But I don't know that she's not that interested in sex. It sounds to me like what she's not interested in is her doing all kinds of weird things with porn boy.
I mean, that depends.
Well,
I mean,
she
would
not be
interested.
I'm not all that interested in sex anyways.
She says, I don't really enjoy sex at all, which
right
gets
there.
Us both down, as he says he
what
wants to meet my sexual needs. But if he's asking her to do things that she's uncomfortable
that's
with,
that's my point.
Then
she's not going to enjoy
it.
Yeah, if she connects sex with sticking this up that and all kinds of weird stuff she doesn't want to do, well, sex is going
to
be a real
drag. Come here, baby, let me do this to you, and she's not interested, she's not going to want to do it if it's all this weirdo porn stuff.
Yeah, but here's the point of that entire email. There's a half a dozen statements in this email that make you go,
huh?
What do you mean by that?
Yeah.
It's just so layered and so complicated, there's no telling. The only way even to begin to deal with this is to sit down with her and really talk about this.
I have
issues.
A quick question, real quick.
Go ahead.
What do you do in this scenario there where you know that she has been giving of herself before the marriage, was sexually abused, date rape, what have you? How do you counsel a woman like this who's not interested in sex before making the vow? You know,
who
even
was
going
interested
into
and then isn't now?
Yeah. How do you?
She doesn't want to have, but she's dating and she's not interested in sex.
Yeah.
Don't get married.
If she's, oh, yeah.
You got somebody like that? Yeah.
Well, no, I'm just saying, because if you were to have
like
this young lady.
Like if she came prior to marrying this guy and said, I have all of these issues.
Actually, I think pastors really dropped the ball. Pre-marriage counseling has really dropped the ball because they don't talk about sex. Are you really looking forward to and want and desire sexual fulfillment? And if one of them says, no, not really.
Yeah.
Man, stop. Yeah.
But see, these women, they're not marrying. They don't think that sex is important. They're not marrying for the sex. They're marrying because they want someone to love them and to take care of them. They're not getting married even thinking the sex card. I can almost guarantee you that.
First of all, I don't think a lot of women are wired where they just think, I want to have sex.
No,
I think what you're saying is okay. But when you have a woman who flat out has an objection to sex, I don't want sex. It's not that important to me.
Right.
That's an alarm. That should stop.
But they think that marriage shouldn't be about sex. It's about these other things.
Marriage is fundamentally.
That's what I'm telling you.
What they think is marriage is about relationship and connection and sharing.
And that's what they want.
And sex is a side issue. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is marriage, sex is the central issue, and these other things are the things that are connected to it.
Unless you find some guy who is not all that interested, because we know it. We've heard it. There's
guys
who
don't want to have sex.
Then find some guy
who
also
doesn't want to have sex.
Is not interested in sex.
He just wants to have someone to cook for him and someone they can share life.
Why get married?
Because I think that's okay.
It's the companionship.
No,
part.
I think
they're both
find someone.
Can't you cohabitate in that case then?
No, I think you can still get married because they have some sex. But you're right. I mean, they could actually have a sexless marriage.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, but still.
But you have the financial thing. You have the legal protection and covering and all of that too in getting married. But I mean, make sure, good heavens, people, you have to have this conversation because if one of you is not interested, then you need to go find somebody else who's not interested.
I just wondered if that would have been interesting having that.
And you have that when you're dating, and they start talking about marriage. Say, I just want you to know something. I didn't like sex.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have sex. If you want to have sex, I'm not the person for you. Said no. Actually, I feel the same way. I don't really. I just want companionship.
Then that's
fine. You know, going in, that's fine.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
But that should be a major flag. But that's the exception, people. Generally speaking, marriage is a sexual contract. When you read in the Bible about marriage, it's a sexual contract. The whole reason, even to get married in the New Testament, was for sex. To say that sex, that romance is the center. And that sex is one of the side things connected.
That's wrong.
Sex is, in fact, the central issue.
Yes.
And all the commitment and sharing and life bills all connected to this sexual contract.
And that has to be taught today. That has really jacked up the state of marriages because people don't understand that.
Yeah.
They really, they're
lost.
We got
churches, you can't even say the word sex, for having sex.
You really need to understand. It's about sex.
It is a sexual contract.
Mm-hmm.
It is a sexual agreement. We are going to be together. Now, not that it necessarily becomes the central issue. I mean, every day isn't just, you know, are we going to have sex today? Which would be pretty fabulous, actually. But I mean, that's not.
Get to a certain age, that's not on your radar.
But I'm just saying, marriage
so
is a very complex thing, and it involves a lot of things, but at the fundamental core is what I'm saying.
Yes.
It is a sexual contract.
Mm-hmm.
This is what gets you in trouble if you go out. Look it. If you share with another man, you haven't violated your marriage agreement.
If I wash clothes or
if you wash clothes,
meal.
You know, if I give you my dirty underwear because, you know, and you do all my laundry upstairs,
that's
you
not
know,
a problem.
That's not a
violation. Well, that would be a
violation.
Problem for me, but
it'll creep you out. But I mean,
it's not a moral problem.
But the one thing, people,
that I cannot
is when
do.
You go outside the sexual bounds.
Right.
That why? Because that is what fundamentally violates the covenant. Marriage is a sexual covenant. You can go to a movie. I mean, it's a bad idea because you don't have sex with them. But I say, you can go to a movie, so that's not a violation.
You can have financial arrangements.
You can have financial arrangements. So you can have all kinds of things with all kinds of people in the world.
Yep.
It's when you get outside the sexual thing. That's the deal breaker because marriage is a sexual compact. All right, you guys. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.